Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a very exciting afternoon earlier today at Odyssey St. Louis. Walked into the building. Dave, what do you think? I came at about 1:30 or so today.
I think that's right, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you saw my tweet, but I actually spilled an entire bucket, if you would, like a, what would you call it, like a Rubbermaid thing of cat food before I left. Always great to do that right before I left. So it's everyone on the floor. I clean it up. I come in here, and one of Jess from one of our other stations is in the lobby here of Odyssey St. Louis. It looks very stressful, all right? And I even said hi to her, and I didn't know what was going on. There was a woman in there complaining. Come to find out, there was a woman who was making claims, and it sounded pretty legitimate to me just based on what I was listening to, that we, and when I say we, Sue, I'm talking about those of us here at Odyssey St. Louis, and I guess other radio stations, were stealing things from her brain. Dave, do I have that accurate?
I'm so sorry. Yep.
Stealing things from her brain. Now, was asking, what was interesting about this is she was seeking a very specific amount of compensation.
Oh, she wanted compensation.
Of course.
Well, she wanted
stealing ideas from her.
$14 million. I'm not kidding you. That's what she was asking for.
Okay, when you first said that, I thought, well, I feel badly. This is obviously some sort of mental break situation.
And it is.
Until the $14 million came into... I had someone...
I wrote her a check, by the way.
Did you?
Everything got better after
that. That's nice. I had a woman...
For $14.
One time, think that.
No, that'll clear. I'm going to write the one for $14 million.
And showed up at a radio station to tell me that on a weekend. I was working at Classic 99 at the time, an overnight shift. And she came to the door and said that that station was sending her messages.
This is not the first time I've heard that particular
claim. It's a thing.
Yeah, well, it's some sort of thing. I don't know what kind of thing
she
it is.
She did not ask for
thing.
Monetary compensation.
$14 million. We're considering it here. But we did have to, unfortunately, I think the officials, the authorities, police. Do we have police in St. Louis?
We do.
We do. They were called. So I think that they showed
up. Is that
up.
What happened? So did they take her out, Dave?
She was led out of the building without any confrontation when they arrived.
Without any compensation either.
That's accurate too. Yes.
Okay. I guess you're not counting that $14.
on a serious note here, and you know, I opened up the show yesterday talking about my friend Chris. I had no idea if this would be a news story, when it was going to be a news story. I told our colleagues at KMOX what had happened. Just to recap real quick, and for those people who've listened to the show for a while, you'll remember the name Chris in the country. He used to call on a regular basis when I was at KMOX. He called a month before the election in 2016. Insisting, because he was a big Trump guy, insisting Trump was going to win. How wrong I was. I said, Chris, if Trump wins, I will shave my head. You can come into the studio. Well, didn't turn out very well. It could have turned out worse for me, but he called me the day after the election, and he said, dude, you don't have to shave your head. I generously took the out. Many people to this very day are very disappointed.
How is that generous of you?
Well, because he was being generous. He was being generous, right. So I took the out, and then we became friends, and we've hung out a few times, baseball game. I was looking at my text messages because we had just texted the week before Thanksgiving, and we were going to touch base this week. And then I get a call. Well, I got a message, and I got a call from his mom on Saturday morning. And it was a stunning message that she sent me on Facebook Messenger that said, Chris has been shot in the head. Well, now there's a story on this. I went through the details that I knew yesterday. There's now a story. And the thing that I want to sort of impress upon people here this afternoon is the story that's in the local paper and whatever else might happen with TV doesn't focus on Chris Smith at all, because he's not really known here. I don't know if you saw the coverage in the paper.
I'm reading it now.
Yeah, so the headline is about, and it's a terrible thing, because the woman who was with Chris, it was a stalker situation, was shot and killed, and he is still in critical condition. The headline in the paper today is Collinsville man accused of killing ex-girlfriend who taught self-defense to victims of domestic violence. There's a ironic, tragic twist. And the story says, and again, some of the details, like I thought that this took place at this woman's house. It was actually at Chris's house on Thanksgiving. So it says a businesswoman who taught self-defense classes to victims of domestic violence was found dead on Thanksgiving Day after police say she was gunned down the night before by an ex-boyfriend. Leslie Reeves, 45, of Troy, Illinois, was shot to death while on a date at a home in Farmersville. The man she was dating and who lived with her, who lived at the home, that's Chris, was shot in the head but survived. He was in critical condition. His mom has not replied to me today. She's been very responsive. But the last I heard, he was having complications with pneumonia and a bacterial infection and not really improving. He's been in the hospital since Thanksgiving, and there has not been a lot of improvement. One of the things that I said yesterday, and apparently this was true, is that his mom said that, I guess what happened when the shooting took place, and luckily they did find the guy. You know, this guy's in jail, this piece of you-know-what, Robert Tarr, who's charged with first-degree murder and first-degree attempted murder. But, you know, he tracks them down, I guess, at Chris's house, and we don't know any of the details about what happened inside the house. But then people realize that nobody is hearing from Chris.
Yeah, and it sounded to me like he was supposed to be at a lunch the next day.
So this was, and here's something else that I got a detail wrong yesterday, just because I didn't feel comfortable asking all the questions when I spoke with his mom. This took place on Wednesday, not Thanksgiving. I thought it was Thanksgiving Day. So this was on Wednesday. He's supposed to be at a family get together. He's not there. He's not responding to text messages. And then on Leslie Reeves, the same thing. Friends were not able to reach her, so they do a wellness check, and then they find this situation. Now, his mom said that he had been in that house for a long time. You think about the timeline. If the shooting took place on Wednesday night and they're into Thursday, right? That's a long time that had passed. So there's a lot. And I think people, I'm not criticizing, although I'm not risk averse to criticizing the Post-Dispatch, I'm not criticizing them for not focusing more on Chris Smith and the story. They just don't know the details. And this woman, Leslie Reeves, apparently was somebody, and they go into some of the details about her her career and what she's done with combating violence and training and things along those lines. So it's just a terrible, terrible situation. And I still can't, as I'm looking through the text messages today, and unfortunately, the last one that I got from him, he indicated a lot of frustration and just some struggles that he was going through. And my response was, dude, just hang in there. I had my kids here last week, right before Thanksgiving. I said, my boys are here. Let me get through this and we'll talk next week. And then I think that was supposed to be last week and we never connected. So, I don't even know what to say about this anymore, because I don't remember ever having a situation where somebody that I was very close with had been shot in the head and was potentially murdered. The good news is the guy's in jail, and I would say he's probably never, ever going to get out. The bad news is, in Illinois, you don't have the option of a needle, which I think would certainly be appropriate in this particular case. So we'll see where that takes us.
It sounds like they knew to whom to go, right?
Yeah, that seemed pretty fast.
Yeah, sounds like if he had been stalking her for a while, they probably went immediately to him, because the article says it was execution.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah. So
it also indicates, too, that I guess she had kind of mentioned problems about him in the past.
Yeah, if he had been known as a stalker, that would
have... He was on probation for a burglary in 92. The lawyer, God bless the lawyers, right? Everybody needs a lawyer sometime. Brenda Mathis, good luck with this. She's representing the shooter, asked for a lower bail. I guess they put it at $2 million. Saying that, look, his daughter had been living with it. Well, Chris Smith has a daughter, too, and she's 12 years old, and she's had some struggles as well. So now you have a little girl, and I don't know the situation with the woman who was murdered, Leslie Reeves. I'm guessing she might have kids as well. But Chris has a 12-year-old daughter, and you know, it's a situation now where you don't know if this little girl's going to ever really see her dad again, mm-hmm. at least in the form that she saw him in before the day before
Good
Thanksgiving.
Good grief.
So, yeah. Anyway, get that off my chest here as we get started this afternoon. A bunch of stuff still coming up here. Let me promote some things before I get into some audio. Mary Fiorito is going to come in here very, very soon because we have a big Supreme Court case on the abortion challenge tomorrow. So we'll get to that. Also, you know, Sue, it's almost that I've joked about putting Ian on the payroll anyway, Ian Scheer from CNET. Did you see the whole thing with Twitter today?
No, what happened?
It's a little confusing. So they have put out, and this is the day after the situation with the new CEO, you know, Jack Dorsey steps down. They put out a new policy. Dave, do you understand the policy?
I was trying to really understand it. I couldn't.
It's about posting pictures without people's permission. So, but it's tricky because if it's in the public domain, in other words, considered a news story, George Floyd was brought up as an example. I'm going to bring up with Ian Central Park Karen. So if someone, Sue, if I'm filming you and you're on your electric bike, and you're riding around and you don't want to be filmed, and I put it on Twitter, they can take it down if you request. I don't know. Again, some of this is very loosey-goosey in the details.
Because, you know, I often will post, or well, let's say you're at the beginning of a race of some sort, foot race, bicycle race. Here's the line behind me as we take off on the St. Louis Marathon.
You better get permission of everybody.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That,
that's
not practical.
Wouldn't that shut down pretty much everybody on Twitter?
Yeah, so that's what I'm wondering.
Well, it's very confusing, and I don't know. Maybe here's what I'm going to hold out hope for. Maybe it's a bit of just a clarification on what they're trying to clamp down on, which is revenge porn. I mean, there are things that
they
should.
Oh, is that what that specifically is aimed
right,
at?
Right. If somebody does something and they post it in a malicious way, you want to be able to take it down. But if I'm just asking, here's the example that I'll go with this afternoon. You guys, Dave's very aware of this policy. Someone comes in here to this studio. We're doing an interview. They say, look, can we take a picture? Of course you can take a picture. What do I say, Dave? There's the one rule. There's one rule, very important rule.
You cannot have your reading glasses on during the picture.
No, I can't. Right. They cannot snap a picture of me.
Yes, correct.
Right,
yes.
Right. If they do that, there's penalties, there's liability, all mm-hmm. these things. They sign a waiver when they come to the studio.
That's revenge porn.
Exactly. Thank you, Dave. But if someone posts that on Twitter, do I have the right to say, take that damn thing down?
Sounds like you do, or it sounds like they're trying to make it that way.
Yeah, we'll find out. Hey, Tiger Woods, this is kind of amazing, really. He had a news conference today. Well, kind of a media availability, if you will. And it's the first time that we've heard from Tiger Woods. Here's what he said. Dan Reardon's going to join us a little later, but it was good to hear from Tiger.
I can still maybe, if my leg gets good enough, maybe click off a tournament here or there. But as far as climbing the mountain, get all the way to the top, I don't think that's a realistic expectation of me. But I think something that is realistic is playing the tour one day, never full-time ever again. I don't quite have the same endurance in my right leg yet. I'm still developing that, and that's going to just take time and time and time and work and more and work. It's an unfortunate reality, but it's my reality. And I understand it and I accept it.
Well, let me tell you something that my gut tells me. As difficult as it is and will continue to be for Mr. Tiger Woods to recover from serious, devastating injuries, what he said there about and confronting the reality of never climbing the mountain again is tougher on Tiger Woods than that. I can almost guarantee you, because that had to be a very difficult thing to confront.
Yeah,
to be honest
for sure.
About.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit in Sue's news. It's good to know you have that bite. But you know what? I love that he says, I won't do it full time, but maybe I can do a tournament or now and then.
Of being realistic here. He said a little bit more about that.
As far as playing at the tour level, I don't know when that's going to happen. I'm able to participate in the sport of golf. Now, to what level, I do not know that. And you know, I'll keep you abreast of all of you guys abreast as progress continues to go on, whether or not I'll be out here and at what level and when. To see some of my shots fall out of the sky a lot shorter than they used to is a little eye-opening, but at least I'm able to do it again. That's something that for a while there it didn't look like I was going to.
Yeah, well, it sounds like he's not even sure that he was going to be able to swing a golf club, so he has to be encouraged by that. Dan Reardon's going to join us a little bit later this afternoon, too, with his take on what Tiger said today. Hey, just because I'm curious, I know that you told me about this. Maybe I want to play it now. Explain, Dave, the Bradley Cooper thing. because I see it in the audio file here. Sue, do you know anything about this?
What?
He was on Dax Shepard has a podcast, and I know you don't like promoting podcasts, Mark. But
because everyone
on,
has a damn podcast. Right. Some of us still need to make a living.
He was on his podcast and basically explained to him why it's not really a great idea to wear noise-canceling headphones when you're on a New York City subway.
All right, I want to hear this. Haven't heard this yet.
Okay.
I used to walk around New York City all the time with these on. And this is pre-pandemic, and I was on the subway 11:45 to pick Leah up downtown at Russian school, and I got held up at knife point. My guard was down.
Because of the headphones.
So I'm like that, and I'm all the way at the end of the subway, which I would just innately just go all the way down to the end. And I felt somebody coming up, and I thought, oh, they want to take a photo or something. And then as I turn, I'm literally like this. I'm like I'm up against the post, like it's the French Connection or some. And then I like turn, and I look down, and I see a knife, like a knife probably that big a knife.
Like a pocket knife.
Yes, with a wooden handle. I remember thinking, it's a nice knife.
Yeah, like this is it's got some history.
All right, I think he has more here.
So I look up, I see the person's eyes, and I'm like taken by how young they are. And then, I'm sure you were taught this, you don't ever run from knife, that you just try to kind of like stay there. And I go like that,
lifted your elbow
up, and just start booking. You just started running, jumped over the turnstile, hit around the white tiled foyer entrance to the subway, took my phone out. He jumped over, running away, and I took a photo of him. And then I chased him up the stairs. He started running up 7th Avenue. I took two more photographs of him.
Wow.
I ran down two police officers in an SUV, showed them the photograph, and I'm like talking to them. And the guy kept saying it was so interesting. He's like, are you stabbed? And I was like, no. He goes, no, check to see if you're stabbed. Because like what happens if people get stabbed and they're in shock.
Oh my God.
And I looked to see if he was right. It was crazy, bro. And then I got back on the subway and picked up my daughter. Like, it was crazy.
How about that story?
Wow.
That's just as good as any scene I've seen in a Bradley Cooper movie in recent history. I'm not criticizing his films, but that is a really, really crazy story.
I like that he was taught if it's a knife, you run. If it's a gun, okay, that's serious.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I flashed back to walking out of my apartment when I was 19 or 20 years old. I worked at this rock station in Columbia, Missouri, and it was early, early morning, and there were homeless people that lived around my house because of the can ordinance in Columbia. And I surprised this homeless dude, and I knew him because he would always hang out on my stoop. And he pulled a knife on me that morning, scared the living crap out of me. It was because he was scared. I scared him.
Luckily,
I was not shanked, but you can see how that would scare the crap out of you. 3:23, we're going to get into the abortion hearing before the Supremes tomorrow. Coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk for a Tuesday afternoon. You don't wanna
know. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, they have a new Twitter policy on posting pictures. I don't understand it at all, but CNN sure is going to join us in just a little bit with an explanation. We have Sue's News in the next hour. Hopefully, I'm going to try to get Andy Puzzer on the show tomorrow. Andy, good friend of the show, obviously from, well, not from here in St. Louis originally, but ran CKE Restaurants, has WashU connections. He also was involved in the Webster versus Reproductive Health Services case back 30 years ago, 1989. He wrote about this abortion case that's going to be held tomorrow, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, Mississippi case, tomorrow before the Supreme. So we'll probably talk with Andy tomorrow. His perspective is very interesting. Mary Fiorito is with me right now. She is a fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. We're going to talk about this case, explain it just a little bit this afternoon. Hi, Mary. How are you? Welcome to 97.1. Oops, there's my music going back up. Wrong pot. It's new to me, radio. I've only done it for 40 years. How are you, Mary?
I'm well, Mark. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So, you know, over the years, I'm not a legal expert, nor do I play one on TV. I am pro-life, and I think that you can make a case, and I think you might back me up on this, that maybe perhaps if you're being honest, no matter what side you are on this particular case, Roe v. Wade, personally, that if you really kind of dig into it, it was a terrible decision by the Supreme Court.
Oh, absolutely, and many pro-choice legal scholars would agree with that. In fact, no less than, you know, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg called Roe a heavy-handed judicial intervention difficult to justify. It really has no grounding or basis in constitutional law. And even people, in addition to Justice Ginsburg, people like Ed Lazarus, who was the law clerk for Justice Blackmun, who wrote Roe, said that Roe was basically indefensible as a constitutional law and constitutional principle. So it has always been a case, along with its subsequent case, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which modified Roe a little bit but didn't overturn it at all. It's always been a case that's been on very shaky judicial and constitutional ground. So it's not a huge surprise, even to lawyers who would consider themselves supporters of legal abortion, that we've come to this point.
So I mentioned Mr. Puzzer's piece. I don't know if you saw that in the Journal this morning, but and I remember him telling me about this last time he was on the air just a few weeks ago, because he was writing about how he did a TV show. He was on a, you know, I don't know if it was Meet the Press or something like that, with another lawyer, because he was involved in Webster in 1989. And after the interview, the other lawyer, who was the pro-choice attorney, said, "This time feels different." Andy's point in this particular case, and I think a lot of people on the left recognize this, is that this case feels different, and pro-life supporters are very encouraged and perhaps should be encouraged, right?
Yes, they are, very much so, and pro-choice advocacy groups and abortion providers are very nervous, and they should be. I did read that excellent piece in the Journal this morning, and I thought it was a really helpful point that he made, in that American law in many states recognizes the humanity of the unborn child in all sorts of other legal situations. I mean, for example, the most kind of common one, I guess you could cite, would be fetal homicide laws. We have both federal laws, that's Lacey and Connor's law. A lot of people might remember that terrible case with Lacey Peterson and her unborn son, Connor, who were murdered by her husband and the baby's father. But there are state fetal homicide laws, so in many states, if you kill a pregnant woman, whether or not you know she is pregnant, you are charged with two counts of homicide, not one, because the law recognizes that there are two victims. you know, tort law protects unborn children. So if a surgical procedure in utero, you know, damages an unborn child and the doctor has not exercised due medical care, you know, the unborn child can sue, or the estate of the unborn child can sue. So the law recognizes unborn children as distinct human beings worthy of protection in all sorts of other contexts. So abortion law is really very much out of stream, not only with the way most Americans think about, you know, abortion and when it should be legal, et cetera, but it's also really kind of out of sync with all the other laws that we have in the books that recognize unborn children.
Well, Mary, explain the details here of this Dobbs case. So the Mississippi law outlaws abortion after 15 weeks gestation, and there are some exceptions for medical emergencies or severe fetal abnormalities. So, and that law identifies the state's interest in protecting the life of the unborn. What is this case going to be argued upon tomorrow before the Supreme Court?
Restricting a woman's actions around getting an abortion, but Mississippi's Gestational Act, which, as you noted, limits elective abortions. So elective abortions means healthy mom, healthy baby. Elective abortions after 15 weeks. And that really is very much in line with the rest of the world. I mean, 39 of the 50 European countries limit elective abortions to 15 weeks gestation or earlier. It's only the United States, and just, I could just back up for a moment here, Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, which is Roe's companion case, legalized abortion for all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason. And that the way they did that, the way the law did that, is that Roe said no state can restrict abortion in the third trimester. Casey updated that a little bit to say after viability, but not if a woman's life or health are at stake. Roe's companion case, Doe versus Bolton, went on to define health as follows. All factors, physical, psychological, emotional, familial, or the woman's age, relevant to the well-being of the patient. So reasons like I'm 16 and I'm too young, that is a health reason for a post-viability abortion. Or I'm 42 and I'm too old, that's a health reason for a post-viability abortion. So that's why, and even the Washington Post has backed this up in one of their, I don't know if you've ever read their Pinocchio column where they fact-check certain things.
Yeah.
And this got the esteemed Pinocchio checkmark, the statement that only 7 nations in the world permit elective abortions after 20 weeks of gestation. So the United States is in terrible company with places like China and North Korea. I mean, we're known for human rights abuses. So that's how extreme our abortion law is. And when you ask the average person, Mark, and I think this is where a lot of people get confused, you'll say, oh, hey, you know, Mark, do you support Roe versus Wade? And you might say, well, yeah. But then if I say to you, well, do you support, you know, an elective abortion at 24 weeks when a baby could survive outside
right.
its mother's
room?
You
say, no,
I'd never support that. Are you kidding me?
You know, I've kind of always sensed that a lot of the people, especially after decades and decades of this, I think most people, along the lines of what you're saying, they don't want to relive all this time and time again. They understand that abortion, unfortunately, takes place out there. But when you get down to the specifics, that's when they start answering the questions in a different way. And I think
right.
that, you know, you see the polling, it says most people in this country feel like women should have the right to an abortion. But again, you dial in on some of the particulars and things change. What are your realistic expectations in this case? And what could the potential outcomes be from this perspective? Because we will hear and we hear the claim, look, if this goes in a direction that is on our side, for example, that means abortion is going to be outlawed everywhere.
Unless it intended to do something with it.
You're going to have to say that again, because I think what's happening here is you're answering my questions before I've asked them, and I didn't hear you because I had you pot it down. So start that again.
A little bit of an echo here. I apologize.
Okay, that's all right.
So do you want to pose your question again, Mark, and then I'll try to answer?
So I guess the question would be, what are the expectations here? Like, if the court rules that the case in Mississippi is legal, then what happens? Because there's confusion about that. That doesn't outlaw abortion everywhere in this country, right?
No, not at all. And in fact, in Illinois, where I live, our state legislature has already preemptively acted to basically encode the Roe decision and its expansive abortion law into our state law. So even if Roe and Casey are overturned by this decision, this Dobbs decision, abortion in Illinois, for example, will remain legal for all 9 months and for any reason.
Right.
New York has done something similar, California. But in all the other states where, you know, you really have state legislatures that are interested in finding out really what the will of the people is, and I would you know, guess that most people, even in a blue state like Illinois, really don't agree with abortion after viability for elective reasons. They just don't. They don't agree with sex selection abortions.
Yeah.
So, right. this would put the abortion decisions back into their proper place, which is the state legislatures. These are legislative decisions, right? And what the Supreme Court did, and why there's so much criticism of it, Mark, is that the justices in Roe and in Casey kind of assumed the role of legislatures. And, I mean, the Roe court going so far as to say, well, it's divided up into trimesters, and then we'll tell you what you can do in each trimester. That's not the role of the Supreme Court. They're there to interpret law, not to make law. And so the proper places for laws to be made are the state legislatures in each individual state. Then if those laws somehow bump up against a true and, you know, grounded constitutional right, then the Supreme Court takes those cases, analyzes them, and determines whether or not they are indeed in step with the Constitution.
Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have just a partisan decision on this, that the justices look at the law, the specifics of the law, make the right, correct constitutional ruling in this case?
Right. I think that is the best thing that they can honestly do for the country, along with the good piece you mentioned in the Wall Street Journal. Bill McGurn, who's one of their regular columnists, had a terrific piece where he talked about people winning and losing fairly. And the pro-abortion side has always won unfairly in these cases, taking laws that are, you know, don't have any grounding in our U.S. Constitution, and somehow getting the court to agree that there's emanations and penumbras that are coming out of the 14th Amendment that somehow, you know, allow a private killing of an unborn child, which is just absurd when you think about how the framers wrote the Constitution, right? So even if this is going to be a hard loss for some in the abortion industry, and it's going to be, I believe, at least that puts everybody on an honest playing field. And when everybody's playing according to the same rules, then we can really get to the heart of what each citizen in each state believes, and frankly, what science supports. I mean, I have a nephew who was born at 22 weeks gestation at Loyola Hospital up here in Chicago, and he is a healthy and happy toddler today. That would have been unheard of in 1973 when the Roe court was deciding that decision.
Oh, there's no doubt the technology. You just look at Silly's pictures if you've ever been in a NICU unit and see the miracles that happen on a daily basis. Mary, I got to get to another segment. Mary Fiorito, this is going to be interesting. I'm sure we're going to talk again. Those arguments could be fascinating tomorrow. I appreciate it.
Well, Mark, thank you very much for having me. A pleasure to talk with you.
341, 97.1 FM Talk. Ian Scherr from CNET on some new picture posting rules from Twitter. I'm very confused. I think everyone is, but we'll find details next. Yeah, nice segue, Mark Cox. Appreciate that. So we got a new Twitter CEO yesterday, Jack Dorsey, out, and then a new Twitter policy today about posting photos, which is utterly confusing. So we go to Ian Scherr, expert from CNET this afternoon. We just had him on. I think we have to put him on the payroll. Let's figure it out here this afternoon. Ian, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
The overriding, digestion of this policy that I've seen so far on Twitter, the reaction to Twitter on Twitter, is nobody really knows what it means exactly. Is that accurate?
I mean, I think that Twitter, as is often the case, released a overly broad and, in you know, slightly undefined rule that is clearly designed to try and deal with big issues like doxing, which is when you take private information and you make it public about someone. So imagine their phone number or their address, or in this case, photographs of them that they don't want to have shared online. So imagine when people take personal photographs that might have been shared between two people in a relationship and then posting them online. It's a thing called revenge porn, which
right,
is illegal
right.
in many states. But does happen on Twitter, unfortunately, and not. Oh, it happens enough that it's a problem.
And I think people understand that. And I retweeted something from Robbie Suave from Reason Magazine. And, you know, I think people understand the revenge porn part. This seems to go a lot further than that. Or is it just a misinterpretation? Because I guess they're saying that if somebody complains, that's when they might take it down. So it would take a complaint. I've seen some people out there asking, would this mean like the George Floyd video couldn't be put up there? How broad does this get, Ian? I think that's the confusion.
Sure. And and to that point, George Floyd's a great example, actually. One of the things Twitter said was that when it's something that is part of news or part of public discourse or an image that or a video that's publicly available, then that is not so much an issue. So TMZ is safe, and someone who records a terrible moment in a public street is also safe. I think what this is really about is that, and I've covered this over at CNET, is when there are those images that people take of children and they put them online, and or we go back to bringing up revenge porn again, when that happens, oftentimes I've actually heard the social media companies will require people to go and get a copyright. Can you imagine this?
Wow.
For their photograph before they'll take it down, which is, I mean, it's traumatic enough to have your photograph put online in the first place, but then to have to go through that process instead of Twitter being, oh, yeah, sure, totally, we'll take it down. They require you to actually have legal rights and ownership to it, which I understand logically, but of course is terrible to victims.
But what happens if I'm, you know, another example that came up today was Central Park Karen. I don't think she's the best example, because if you really look into the details of Central Park Karen, there's some things that should have been reported in the first place, but at this point, that's neither here nor there. But as an example, let's say that I'm out and somebody's doing something that I think is just outrageous, and I start recording them, and they say, hey, stop recording me. They hold up their hands, but I want to expose that, or I want to put it up on Twitter. People do that all the time. Is that then not allowed?
Well, that is where it gets a little gray area. Okay. So legally speaking, again, if you were to go to the court of law, public face and public space, right? The law that many journalists, including myself, rely upon when we're dealing with those situations is that when you are out in public, you do not have a right to privacy. And so that, you know, in that case, she was acting in Central Park, which is a public space, and she can't say, well, you were trespassing, you're taking my photo in my home, all that type of stuff.
Okay.
That said, right, and that has been tested, by the way, many times. And it's very clear. So if you ever run across a journalist in the public street and you're like, I don't want him to take a photo of you, you need to just walk away. You can't
right. No.
But the point is that in Twitter world, they say, well, you can't publish something without someone's consent. But again, there's that kind of out that Twitter gives itself, right? Where if it's something that is covered by the news or adds value to public discourse. So in case of Central Park Karen, as you know, again, we could debate all the details all we want, but it did become public discourse.
Yes, it did.
Right? So that's where it kind of becomes a thing unto itself. And clearly, that's part of why Twitter wrote it this way, right? Is they want to have an out for when it's something that does become a public conversation, but they want to be able to point to something when people are effectively making stuff public that should be private.
One final example. This might be the important one, the real important one. I have a little personal policy that if someone's in the studio with me, this actually extends to friends and everyone. You cannot post a picture of me, Twitter, Facebook, I don't care where you're posting it, if I have my reading glasses on. Do I have the right, if someone posts a photo of me, like my producer, Dave Klein, and my reading glasses are on, making me look very old, Ian, do I have the right to go to Twitter and say, pull that crap down right now?
I think you should test it.
Okay. I'm going to try it because it's very important.
I'm going to fly out there. I'm going to take a photo. We should do it together. No, I think that generally speaking, in those cases, you know, you're in a situation where probably Twitter would say, Mark, you're being a little ridiculous. But, that does fall within the realm of this conversation, right, which is that we are talking about something that is private, that you don't want made public, and also that, you know, it's a situation where this person did not have your consent. In fact, they explicitly did not have your consent. So I would actually be really curious.
Wow.
To test. I imagine that runs into the red line where, you know, Twitter didn't really make it clear.
You know, and I kind of joke about that, obviously, but I remember back, I think this was in the aftermath of Mike Brown here in Ferguson, the Today Show came in. It was just a photographer, and he comes in. They wanted to get reactions, some phone callers. I was taking calls that day, and the guy, he spent like 45 minutes in my studio when I was on the KMOX side, And I joke with him. I said, hey, no video of me in my reading glasses. And, you know, kind of jokey. And then the next morning, it leads the Today Show. There's literally maybe a second and a half clip of me to start the story, and it's in my damn reading glasses. And that was all they got for 45 minutes.
You know the other rule when you're dealing with journalists. There's no such thing as off the record, right?
Well, I'm very aware of that. All right, Ian, I appreciate it. We're going to put you on the payroll because you're here so much. But thank you for the clarification on the Twitter stuff.
Absolutely, anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.